times the load is heavy, at times the road is long. When circumstances come your way and you think you can't go on, when you're feeling at your weakest, Jesus will be strong. He'll provide the answer when you found all hope is gone. He'll find a way. For I know that if he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll see you through, he'll find a way.
At times your heart is breaking with a pain that's so intense. All you hold are broken pieces to a life that makes no sense. He wants to lift you up and hold you and mend each torn event. He'll pick up the pieces that you thought had all been spent. He'll find a way.
For I know that if he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll see you through. For I know that if he can paint the sunset and put the stars in place, I know if he can raise up mountains and calm the storm-tossed waves, and if he can conquer death forever and open heaven's gates, then I know for you, he'll see you through, he'll find a way, he'll find a way.
He always has a way, amen, and a will for us. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy 3, all the T books in the Bible together, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. But if you go to 1 Timothy, and when you find chapter 3, if you'll stand with me to your feet for the reading of the Word of God this morning, we'll look down together at verse 14. Verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says this: "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you as a church looking to hear from your word. I ask that you would bless now the reading of it. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Fill him with your spirit. Lord, give him exactly the words to say. I ask if there's anyone here today that doesn't know he's a personal Savior, that today you would convict their hearts, help them to come to saving knowledge of you. May they receive you as their Savior today. Be with us this morning. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at the Word of God this morning, we get a chance to talk about the church. As you look at verse number 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Are you thankful for the church today?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's not just a place to go to spend some time and just to kind of pay our dues, but we get to go to the house, The Bible says, the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Where would your life be without the church? Think about that. Where would your life be without the Word of God? Where would your life be today without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that you trust in Him as your Savior? But where did you hear about those things? Probably at church. Remember, as a boy growing up and hearing about the things of God in church, I can't say I always listened in church. Don't want to give you ideas, but there was times where I sat in church and counted the ceiling tiles and brought candy. Don't start counting them now. I know I gave you all ideas. We're all children at heart, right? Sometimes I'd sit there with a piece of candy, and I remember one time someone said something about hearing something in church and God speaking to their heart, and I was like, you listen in church? And I was pretty young and immature. I try to listen now. But I want to talk to you about the church, how much of an impact the church needs to make today. If you look at where our country is today, think about it, where it would be without the church, without the Word of God. The Bible says it's the house of God. The house of God. Now, these are buildings, and God has blessed us with beautiful buildings and a great property, but they're just buildings. They're beautiful, they're nice, but the church is the people of God. And what a blessing it is. I was just thinking about that yesterday, and just news that Miss Gail had passed away, such a sweet and kind lady, and she had been gone a couple weeks, and I saw her here, and I think it was last Sunday or so, and I just said, hey, Miss Gail, how are you? I said, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. Good to be in church. Always encouraging. Always had candy. She was always, oh, that's a nice tie you have today, Pastor. And she'd say, I'm looking forward to hearing a good sermon today. And I was like, does that mean it wasn't a good one last week? I'm not really sure. Take that how you want. I don't really read into it. It's like, thank you, Miss Gail. I'm looking forward to a good one today, too. But not taking for granted the church. This is the house of God. I don't know about you, but I love going home. At the end of the day, any day, I love going home. I'd rather be home than out doing things most of the time and just getting to be there. But I love coming to church. Saturday night, our family starts getting ready for church, as we do before that in some ways, but kind of just getting the family and the house and everyone ready for tomorrow is church. Tomorrow is God's day. And as we pray and get things ready, and as we come to church on Sunday morning, I was telling someone today, driving to church on Sunday mornings, I think, where is everyone else going? I can't imagine going somewhere other than church on a Sunday. I can't fathom not going to church. And as we come here, and as we're thinking and praying and thinking through different situations and people and ministries and all that, I think, we get to go to church today. Right? Did you think about that today? We get to go to church today. Too many people today are playing church, though. We have the Burger King mentality. This is not a Burger King promotion. I'd rather not ever go there again personally. But Burger King is the have it your way. And many times churches today, it's, well, what do you want? I'm going to make church for you. What do you want? What do you like? And we're going to give it to you the way that you want. Come as you are, stay as you are, leave as you are. And we're just going to make it fit your lifestyle, your schedule. That's not what the church is. Right? Amen. It's the church of God. It's the house of God. Many people will say, well, it doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to church somewhere. It doesn't matter what Bible you have. You know, it's pretty much the same. I was witnessing to a gentleman one time, and he said, well, I grew up in this religion, and it's pretty much the same as it is here at Shasta Baptist. And I thought, have you paid attention to church here at all? I don't think that's even close to the same. But if you notice, there's a few different churches and religions and Bibles out there, but there's one God, there's one way of salvation, there's one church that Jesus Christ established. That's the church that we get to have here today. Now, I don't want to discourage you, but our church isn't perfect because there's people here. Did you notice that? Because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. None of God's children are perfect. We should be striving to, though, right? People today come and kind of play church, and in some ways, people just, as Christians even. I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking Christians. Sometimes we neglect the house of God. The house of God sometimes gets neglected. You know, your seat and your spot, that you're supposed to be at. And we look, you know, you're in that spot, and if you move, we can't find you anymore because you went to the other side of the auditorium. But we neglect church sometimes. To neglect is to pay little attention to. You know, sometimes you ever walk in the house and you think, what happened here? How did we leave our house a mess? Or what happened when I left? It's maybe some things that need some attention, but God's word needs the house of God needs attention as well. For each and every one of us, you're a part of this church. It should not be neglected. It should not be forsaken, abandoned. You go by that house and it's boarded up, and the doors are locked, and no one living there, and trying to keep people away. It's just been completely abandoned. Too many times churches today are just simply abandoned. Empty. Empty when they should be full. When they should have a service open. When they should be preaching the word of God, and they're just forsaken. And maybe sometimes in our lives that we have neglected the church, abandoned. We get to the place where we used to go and we used to be more faithful. You say, oh, I'm here this morning. That's great. But let's make sure we don't abandon the house of God. We don't forsake the house of God. Sometimes as Christians, we can fall into the trap of just playing church, right? Where we can grab our Bibles and dress up nice and we can come to church, but we kind of come to church and put on our Christianity and then we go home and take off our Christianity. That's not what this is about. Church is a day, this is the Lord's day. We get to come and hear God's word preached and sing about the Lord, and I love every bit of that. But our Christianity shouldn't just be when the doors are open, right? It should be when we go home, right? It should be when we go to work, when we go out in town, that we should be a Christian everywhere that we go. And we shouldn't be just playing a part. It shouldn't be just a casual Christianity. Today, churches are trying to just make it more casual, to make it more user-friendly. You know what? I have to tell you this. The Bible is not user-friendly, if you will. It's not just saying, you know what? You're okay. Don't change. Now, here's the thing, though. The church is welcome for anyone to come, right? Everyone's welcome here. I hope we know that. We believe that. I hope we have a welcoming, inviting church. But God's word is calling us up to a higher standard. And when we come to church and we preach the word of God, it's not just stay as you are. God's trying to work on things in our lives. You think, well, you're preaching the Bible. You don't have to do those things. I don't know if you know this, but when you study and preach the Bible, it's convicting. There's times where I think, God, I've got to preach that. I'm not even doing that. I'm not supposed to preach that to everybody else to do that. Let's not be casual in our Christianity. Why? Because this is the house of God. This is the house of God. Again, they're just buildings, but when we meet together as a church and we get to sing and open the Word of God, this is the house of God. The Bible says it's the church of the living God. Not a dead God, but a living God. Aren't you thankful for that? This is the church, the house of the living God. He's alive. Amen? He's alive and God is working. And I pray that when we come to church, we believe and say, God, do something in my heart today. Do something and help me to be alive today. People shouldn't wonder if you're alive or dead. That should be pretty evident that someone would see if you're alive. But as a Christian, it's the house of the living God. That God works on our hearts. Souls are getting saved and we're bringing visitors and God is doing a work. Let's not get into a dead Christianity where we just pull open the psalm books and go to the altar and just go through routine, but God's alive. And if you're saved, that God is living in your heart, and God wants to do a work in your life. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the what? The truth. You know, we have the Word of God today. Without this Bible, we have no reason to meet here today. Right? There's other things you could be doing. But today we get to open the Word of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That God speaks to us through His Word. At Shasta Baptist Church, we're going to make big of the preaching of the Word of God because God wants people to know the truth. I don't know about you, but I don't like being lied to. Even if it sounds nice, I don't want to be lied to. We're in that political era of time. I don't believe most of what both sides are saying, to be honest today, but I want to know the truth when it comes from God and His Word. And you know this, when you open the Word of God, God will always tell you the truth. God cannot lie. But Satan, he's the father of lies. That's the pillar and ground of the truth. Jesus Christ started the church. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," he says, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is God's church. He established the church. He started the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You say, why are there so many churches out there? Because there's a lot of man-made churches, a lot of man-made religions. I'm not here to attack other religions and all that, but I can tell you this, though. False religions and false Bibles are sending people to hell. And I don't hate the people that go there, but I can tell you this, that is sending people to a crisis eternity in hell. They're not hearing the truth from the Word of God. Jesus started the church. Jesus loves the church. So how do you know that? Because he gave his life for the church. He gave his life. Again, not for the buildings, but for the church, for the people of God. He gave his life for the church. You say, God, why are you asking so much from me? Because God gave you so much. He gave his everything. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That he gave his life for the church. As a husband would love a wife, that's the example how Christ loves the church. And he gave his life for it. You see the importance of the church today? That it's not a casual thing. It's nothing to just kind of pop in and pop out. But this is established by God. Jesus loves the church, gave his life for it. It's an assembly of believers, of saved, baptized believers, the membership of the church. But knowing this, that everyone is welcome to come here. Right? Amen. Everyone is welcome to come here. Hey, it's a lighthouse. It's a place for the sick, the hurting to come and hear about the Lord. May we never be too big or too good to invite others to the house of God. Right? It's a place for the sick to come, and this is the Lord's day. Sunday, this is the Lord's day. It's a special day. This is God's day. To set aside a day for the Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy on this first day of the week as the New Testament commanded us, this is God's day. May it be a special day, not just where you kind of roll out of bed and go to church, but may it be special. Did you prepare your heart for today? We've been praying for today. Has God been speaking to your heart? I pray that he has already. This is God's house. May we treat it special. This is the Lord's house, and this is the Word of God. I have nothing good to say other than what God shows me from his Word. We get to open the Word of God today and hear from the Lord. I want to give you a few thoughts this morning. This is God's house. Number one, let's be faithful to God's house. Let's be faithful to the house of God. In Hebrews 10:25, you knew the verse and you knew where I was going. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. You see that day approaching. He says, so much the more. So many are doing so much the less as they see the day approaching. Just more of backup, casual Christianity and all that. Hey, we need to be doing more for the Lord, not less. Amen? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Psalms 122, verse 1 says this. I love this verse. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not I was grumpy, I was forced, I was made to do it. Hey, we get to go to church. Amen? We get to go to church. We get to sing about the Lord. We get to bring our Bibles, participate. We get to let God speak to our hearts today. Let's be faithful to the house of God because God wants to work on our hearts. You know this, that the church doesn't do a whole lot of good for us if we're not here. If I didn't show up this morning, I'd have made one of our staff guys preach. I tell them sometimes, have something ready in any case, you never know. But let's be faithful to the house of God. What if we treated our church like we did our jobs? Well, I didn't feel like going in today. You think about that with your church, with your home. I didn't feel like coming home today, and I'm just going to stay home. And I think your spouse might wonder where you are. Your boss might wonder where you are. But how about on Sunday when God says, where are you today? I understand sickness and things come up and all that, but understand this. God wants you to be in his house. He's looking for you. He's glad to see that you are in the house of God. Let's be faithful to the house of God. Faithful to God's house, but number two, the foundation in God's house. You realize this, that the church is a place where you get a foundation from the Word of God in your life. The Bible says the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar is something that's put in place to hold something up. And that ground is some kind of a foundation that was put in place. And we see that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we can learn about God's word at our homes when our Bible time, of course we can. But there's something about that preaching from the word of God to instruct, to convict, to help us in our lives. Because why? God wants to build your life on the word of God. You're going to build your life on something. You're going to build your beliefs somewhere. You say, no, I just do my own thing. I always love it when people, they do their own thing, just like everyone else. You're like, you're doing what everyone else is doing. But to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that the parable that Jesus gave about the foolish man and the wise man. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man built his house on the rock. But guess what happened? The storms came, and the house on the sand went. I was waiting for all of our teenagers. The house, the song, the kids, you know, house on the rock went splat. But that wise man, he built his house upon the rock, and the storms came, and they beat upon the house, but it stood firm. And that's what we get when we come to the Word of God, when we come to the house of God, that God is building the foundation of your life, with your salvation, first of all, and that God grows you as a Christian in what you believe, and you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you can build your life on the things of this world, but guess what? They're always changing. Did you know that? The reports they come out with today that say it's good to do this for your health, tomorrow they're going to tell you it's bad for your health. You notice that? I think, could someone make up their mind on this? And I'm like, I don't care what you say. I'm eating ice cream anyway. And going to enjoy it along the journey, right? But building your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to build your life on something. Why don't you build it on God? You're going to build your family somewhere. I can't think of a better place than to build your family in church. What a great place to raise your family, to bring your kids, your grandkids, to see our young people grow up, to build a solid foundation on the Word of God, because it's the pillar and ground of the truth. Psalms 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hey, it's a foundation in our life. You know the storms come. Do you notice that? Difficulty in life comes. Unexpected things happen. And we don't have to run around crazy like chickens with their head cut off. I've not actually seen that before. But when the storms come, what do? Where do you go? Who do you turn to when the storms of life come, and they're going to come? And when they come, you turn to the Lord and say, well, let's see what God says in his word. You say, does the Bible have an answer for everything? Yes, it does. And you go to God in prayer and say, God, would you help and give me wisdom today? What should I do? We don't have to run around and figure it out ourselves. Why? Because God has the answer. God has the answer. Let's build our foundation in the house of God, on the Word of God. And then thirdly, let's be fruitful in God's house. Fruitful. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That God builds your life on the Word of God. And in Psalms 1, it talks about you're planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That God wants you to prosper. You know this, that God's not trying to hold any good thing back from you in your life. He's trying to keep you away from wrong. You know, parents, you tell your kids, stop, don't do that, don't go there. And the kids are like, what do mom and dad actually know? I hate to tell you this, kid, but a lot more than you do. They're trying to help you. But how many times in our life do we come to God and say, you know, God's trying to keep me from something? Yes, he is. A life of sin, a life of sorrow, a life of destruction. And that's why we must build our life, our foundation on the Word of God. And then you build your life on God and you look back and think, look how blessed I am. I've never regretted going to church. Unless those times I went to the wrong church and I didn't realize it. On vacation, went to a church one time and I went, I picked the wrong church today and I thought it was better than it was. But you look back in your life, I've never regretted going to church. I've never regretted living for God. I've never regretted bringing my family to the house of God and praying and living for God. I've never regretted that. But there's been too many times in my life that I've regretted doing my own thing, living for the world, listening to my flesh. I regret those times. Would you be fruitful in God's house? The Bible says in Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. See, God's trying to work the impurities, the sin out of our life. And where do we find that? From the word of God, in the house of God. Why? Because it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. Are you building your life on God today? So many people are building their lives based on the opinions of this world. And they're listening, what does the world say today? And they flock to whatever the news tells them or the polls tell them or their friends tell them. Guess what? That's always changing. And it's never going to lead you the right direction. Instead of coming to the word of God and saying, God, what do you have for me today? God, what do you want to speak to my heart about today? You say, but sometimes I come to church and God really nails me in an area. And you know what? That's good. If we need it, we need it sometimes. At the moment that correction may not seem to be pleasant, may not be joyous, but at the end, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness that God is working in my life. Is God working on your heart today? What is God doing in your life? I think of being raised in church for these last 30-something years as I think about it, and I think I'm thankful I was raised in church. I'm thankful that I had parents that would take us to church, send us to church, send to a Christian school to learn the word of God. I'm thankful that my life is built around the house of God. Now, I go to church here. I also happen to work here as well. My life is built around the house of God, and I don't regret it for a second. You know, the regrets that I have is when I wandered from God, when I've strayed from the Lord, when I've done it my own way. There's no blessings there. There's really no fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Is your life being built around the word of God and the house of God? This is God's house. May we be investing ourselves into the house of God, not just attending. That's great, and we're thankful you're here, but may we invest into the house of God and have God work on all hearts in our life, that he may present us, the Bible says, to him, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Because God wants to do work in your life. You know that? God wants to do work in your life today. God wants to change you to be more like his son, to be like his word. This is God's house. Are you thankful for the house of God today? May we not treat it casually. May we not neglect the house of God, abandon the house of God. May we not just come here casually. May we be serious about the house of God. As the times get later and later, and Jesus is coming again soon, it's a time to be serious about our beliefs. It's a time to be serious that you know for sure that you're saved and going to heaven. Hey, he could come at any moment. You could pass from this life at any moment. Let's not play with our lives. Jesus is coming soon. Eternity is real. Heaven and hell are very real. Do you know him as your Savior today? With head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning, I'm thankful to get to be in the house of God. What a blessing that is. But more than just being in church, I want God to speak to my heart every time. There's times where God has spoken to my heart, and there's other times I feel like he hasn't, and I wonder why. What did I miss? What was wrong in my life that maybe needed to get right with him? Maybe you're here this morning. It's your first time. Maybe you've been here many times. but you would say you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sins, shed His perfect blood to be the payment for your salvation, was buried and rose again 3 days later. Only by grace, through faith in Him, will we receive eternal life. If you don't know that you're saved today, if there's even a question in your mind, would you settle that matter today? Please don't wait another day. If you don't know that you're saved, there's a question, would you raise your hand and slip it up? We could have someone pray for you. Is there anyone here today? I don't want to embarrass you, call you out, but if you don't know that you're saved today, would you settle that this morning? Maybe you find one of us afterwards and we could show you from the Word of God briefly but clearly what the Word of God says, how you can know you're going to heaven. The next question is this: is God working on your heart? Is God speaking to your heart about the subject, about the house of God? May we be serious about the house of God. May we not take it casually. May we be serious about the things of God.